I'm thankful for the River Jordan where your soul can be refreshed. Amen. You can step off into Jordan and die to self and be renewed as a Christian. As a, you know, as a person who needs the Savior, you need to get saved. Amen. But that Jordan's a picture of going into that abundant Christian life. Today is Super Mission Sunday. We have this every year. It's 6 months after our missions conference that we have in October. So as a church, we emphasize missions and the important task we have as a church to spread the gospel throughout the world. And it's important, I absolutely believe as the pastor, that we keep missions in front, the very forefront, and keep it in front of our eyeballs as much as possible. To be reminded that we are not a social club. Amen? We're not a social club. And when it says church out there on the sign, there's a reason why it says that. And the purpose that God gave to the church is the spreading of the gospel. Amen. And if we are not fulfilling that purpose, then by definition, we're not a church. We become something else, whatever that may be. And so this morning, we're going to emphasize missions this morning. We're going to watch a video and then we'll get to the message. Yeah.
What does God want for your life? Is He calling you into full-time ministry? Where does God want you to serve Him?
William Carey said, "To know the will of God, we need an open Bible and an open mouth." Maybe God wants you to serve in Africa. Who will go to Africa? David Livingstone said, "I will go." And because of that decision, he opened the door for every future missionary in Africa. Who else will go to Africa? Who will go to Europe? A continent that is home to more than 733 million souls, which will all spend eternity in either heaven or hell. Not so long ago, Europe had the world's strongest churches. Revival swept through her cities. In fact, the gospel came to America. However, much of Europe has become a graveyard for Christianity. According to USA Today, in countries such as France, Sweden, and the Netherlands, less than 10% of the population attend a church at any time. The only growing religion in Europe today is Islam. Are we willing to let these precious people die and go to hell? Who will go to Europe to tell them? Who will go to Asia? Asia needs the gospel more than ever before. Yet, much of Asia has been neglected by missionaries from America. Half of the world's population live on the continent of Asia. Who will go to Asia? Hudson Taylor said, "I would go to China, the largest country on earth." And at his death, 849 missionaries had followed him to China, and there were 125,000 Chinese Christians. Abner Justin said, "I would go," and translated the entire Bible into Burmese language. As Hudson Taylor said, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." Who would go to Asia? What about the land down under? An extremely beautiful continent that desperately needs to know the saving power of Jesus Christ. In 2004, only 7.5% of Australia's population attended any type of church on a weekly basis. Australians have material wealth and physical prosperity, but they don't have Christ. Do you care? Who will bring the gospel to Australia? South America has more people living within her borders than our entire country here in America, and many of them will never learn of the God that we so greatly worship. Janelius said, "I will go to South America to reach the unbelievers.
And turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. The supreme task of the church is to spread the gospel. It is the supreme task of the church. I want to use an Old Testament passage as an illustration of where we're at. Look at Ezekiel. Familiar passage to some of you. Ezekiel chapter 3, let's look at verse 17. Let's look at verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days, I can still hear papers rustling. Let me give you a little time. There are two texts in Ezekiel where Ezekiel's warned of God to be a watchman. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 16 through 19. Also, you can read it later if you would like, in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 9. And it says in verse 16 of chapter 3, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. And when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." And you can go on and read a few more verses. Don't do it now. But it says, if you warn a righteous man of his way, of his going the wrong way, then his blood would I not require. But if you don't warn him, then I will require the blood at your hands. It's a whole other message, the next two verses. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for your many blessings you've richly bestowed upon us as a church and upon America. But Lord, with those blessings come great responsibility. And I pray, Lord, that our church again, our family, would see again this morning that responsibility. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of the gospel that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Israel had turned their back on God, and so God had sent them prophets, preachers, to preach to them, to warn them of judgment to come, but also to warn them of hope. I'm glad that with judgment also comes hope. I'm glad with judgment comes hope. Amen. I have the blessed hope to know that Jesus Christ will return one day, but we must understand that there is also judgment, and he warns them of that. This passage this morning is an easy word picture, a picture of a watchman, a soldier at his post, a soldier who is, and I always think of like a fort, a wooden fort. Also, a particular show comes into mind, but we won't go into that one. The F Troop. Anybody ever watch F Troop? That's not the kind of fort I'm talking about. Most teenagers have no idea what I'm talking about. Every time they shot the cannon, they shot the guard tower down. Okay, just go YouTube it. F Troop, it's hilarious, all right? I know it's black and white, but it's good stuff. Not that kind of fort, but the fort. I always think of a fort. I think of a watchman. I think of a man up on in the guard tower watching out over the pasture there in front of the fort, keeping watch. Why? To watch that the enemy is coming, to warn those inside the fort, to warn those there. The watchman is needs to be faithful to his post. Needs to be faithful to his post. He needs to be attentive. He needs to be ready to blow the trumpet, to blow the warning that if and when the enemy is coming. Blow the trumpet when impending danger is coming. And that was Ezekiel's job. That's what God tasked Ezekiel with, to blow the trumpet, to remind the children of Israel of judgment to come, of the impending captivity that was to take place unless they turn from their ways. Listen, this morning, we must blow the trumpet. He reminded Ezekiel if he didn't blow the trumpet, there would be consequences, and that the nation of Israel's blood would be upon his hands. But if he blew the trumpet, if he sounded the warning, and Israel refused to heed the warning, then his hands were clean. We are watchmen. Those here this morning who are Christians. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know it. We're watchmen. We're watchmen. Listen, the church is to be a watchman. But I want to get real specific this morning. Heritage Baptist Church is to be a watchman. We are to be a watchman. We are tasked to warn the world that there is a penalty for sin. We are tasked to warn the world that that hell is real. Listen, that person in South America, that person in Australia who doesn't accept Christ as their Savior, the Bible says that the result of that, the penalty of sin is death. And Revelation tells us that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen, hell is real. And the penalty of sin is real. And we must be reminded over and over again that the task at hand is so very important because souls are depending upon it. I'm so glad, though, there's hope. Jesus Christ gave us that hope. We celebrated it last Sunday, but really we celebrate it every Sunday. Amen. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and there He died for me. He died for you. He paid the penalty for my sin. He took the wrath of God for me. He took the wrath of God for you, and He was buried in that tomb. But on the third day, He rose again from the dead, proving that He had paid for our sins in full. And now there is hope. And we must share that hope with the world around us. God had one son, and He made that son a missionary. Think about it. We showed the video just a moment ago. Who will go? There are some in this auditorium that should go. I'm talking about you yourself, not sending a substitute. I'm talking about you should go. There's some youth in here that should go, that should become missionaries, that should heed the call and go. There's some here. Don't have to be. By the way, you don't have to be. The Casillases were in their 40s when they went to Mexico. The Casillas who finally gave their life for the field of Mexico went in their later years. You don't have to be a teenager or to go. Who will go? Who will go? The supreme task of the church. And again, a little more specific. The supreme task of Heritage Baptist Church is the evangelization of the world. Mark chapter 6, and by the way, I had about 12 verses written down for this. I'm going to read one. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. That was the command of Jesus Christ to the church. The church of Jerusalem was tasked with the job of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Who will go? Well, we must go into the world. Where are we to go? We're to go into the world. Who are we to warn? The world. The world. Jesus died for the world. Jesus, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ didn't just die for America. Jesus Christ died for the world. Jesus died for all. He loves the world. He gave His Son, and He gave His Son for the world. When Jesus died, He died for the world. God's vision is a world vision, not a Haslett vision, not a Texas vision, not an America vision, not a North American vision. It is a world vision. It's a world vision. And too many churches today have got tunnel vision, only thinking about the local, only thinking about self. By the way, we have a tendency personally to do this as well. We're selfish by nature, and we want ours taken care of. We want ours taken care of first. Our, you know, Lord, whenever I live in the right house and I have the right cars and I have this and I have that, then I'll do something for somebody else. That's not what we're supposed to do. Love serves. We're to be serving others. We're to be doing for others. Philippians tells us that. He says, God says, the Lord says there, and Paul says there in Philippians, for us to press toward the mark, to be selfless, to be like Jesus Christ, to let this mind be in you, to live a selfless life, to live for others. Then what does He say there at the end? In chapter 4, He says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You say, if I'm taking care of others, and if I'm doing for others, who'll take care of me? The Lord will. Amen. He's promised to. You're saying if I take care of others and do for others and do all these things and forget about myself and my stuff and my things and my accumulated stuff, God will take care of you. He's promised to. By the way, He keeps His promises. We serve a God who cannot lie. He always keeps His promises. And if He didn't, He wouldn't be God. God has a world vision. And we have a tendency to think only of ourselves. I don't know how many churches I know of that do not have a worldwide vision. I don't know how many churches I know of who have $1 million or $2 in the bank. By the way, that's not us. And instead of using that money to spread the gospel, they like to have it set there so they can say they got money in the bank. I just want to let you know, as long as you let me pastor this church, that won't happen here. Just we're going to spend every dime we have to spread the gospel, to do the ministry. Doesn't mean we won't save for emergencies and those things, but we're just not going to stack up a stack of cash over here. It's just not going to happen. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Why? Because our job isn't to stack up a bunch of cash over here unless we're building for, saving for a building or have some specific purpose for it. Our purpose is to reach people with the gospel. That's our purpose, whether it's through the Sunday school or through a fall festival or through a mail out or through our missionaries and through Bible colleges and through evangelists and on and on and on. We need to have a world vision and we need to have a selfless heart, a heart for others, and not think of our own self. By the way, not just think of our own town. And we ought to pass out the flyers and the door knockers, and we just did 10,000 of them there right before Easter. And that's something we're going to do twice a year, maybe more if we get the opportunity to. And we ought to take care of reaching our community for Jesus Christ. But let me tell you again that God has a worldwide vision. It's not just me, myself, and I and my community. It's the world. Jesus Christ died for the world. And I want to remind you, go ahead with the Brother Adam. And I want to remind you that we are tasked, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we are tasked, Jesus said to them, that they were to go into Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And this is our Judea. This is Haslett, the Haslett area. This is the area we are challenged by the Lord Jesus Christ to reach here locally. And we do that twice a year. We canvass the area with flyers or with door knockers. Every Tuesday night and every Saturday, we're out in some ways visiting and knocking doors and inviting new move-ins to come to church and giving the gospel out. And Sunday school teachers are visiting their kids and visiting their adults. And we are doing our... not that we can't do a better job. Amen? We can. But we are intensely trying to reach our community. And I hope as time goes forward, we can do even a better job of reaching our community. Because we're to go into Judea. And the next slide, into Samaria, into the state of Texas. And I'm glad we have Brother James Stone down in Corpus starting a church and doing a fine job. And we have Brother up in Stratford, Texas. And we have them all over. We support many in the state of Texas because we're supposed to be reaching the state of Texas. We have been commanded. We have been instructed. We have been tasked to reach Texas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's for everybody. No, that's for Heritage Baptist Church. That's for us. And then we think of America. We're to reach America for the Lord Jesus Christ. 319 million people to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we support Brother Riviera up in the Maryland area and so many others around. We support about 20 different church planters from Texas to Brother Doyce up in Boise, Idaho. And so many others, Oklahoma and Kansas and Colorado, reaching America with the gospel. The next slide is the North American continent. We're to reach the North American continent with the gospel. Canada, we support a missionary in Canada. We support Brother Penix up in Alaska. His letters are fun to read. You need to. He goes to remote areas of Alaska. He goes to little villages. I mean, sometimes goes into a village of only four people in Alaska. Amen. to reach four people with the gospel. Those four people, God is no respecter of person. Those four people are just as important as the whole country of America. Listen, God died for the individual. He died for everyone. God said, the Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the next slide should be the last one, is the world. Jesus Christ died for the world. God wants us to have a world vision because that's what He sees. He sees the entire world. Amen. Understand that. God sees the entire world. And God wants us to have that same world vision. Not to think only of ourselves or only our church, but to remind ourselves that God is no respecter of persons. No matter how we may, no matter what we may say, our actions speak. Our actions speak. And no matter what we say, we think more importantly of ourselves and our local area than we do the world. It's just because of our actions. I mentioned this a few months ago, that the island of Java, which is a part of India, an island there, the size of Florida, has 150 million people on it. Imagine that, the size of Florida, 150 million people. That's half of America's population on an island. Just because our population, we're the third largest population in the world, just because our population is 319 million, to God, that does not make us more important than the rest of the world. India has 1.2 billion people. That's amazing, isn't it? China has 1.3 billion people. But can I just remind us that there are 7.2 billion people in the world, and God loves every one of them. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He loves them all. He loves them all. God, I know I'm repeating myself on purpose. God is no respecter of persons. We as a church and we as individuals need to have a world vision. God doesn't love based upon population, color, economic status, or conditions. God loves everyone. And we need to see the world as God sees it. We're going to have a missionary tonight to South Africa. We need to see the world as God sees the world. And God loves those in South Africa. God loves those in Brazil and Chile and Argentina. God loves those in Mexico, and God loves those in India and China. God loves the world. God even loves the Middle East and wants to see them reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are tasked to reach the world. The most important job of the church, the supreme task of the church, is to evangelize the world. It's the most important job of the church. The most important task that the church is given by the Lord Jesus Christ is to spread the gospel. And yet, missions conference is usually one of our least attended conferences. I'm talking about actions speak louder than words. If the supreme task of the church is to spread the gospel around the world, then we should drop everything and be a part of the missions conference. You know, it's all right, you can smile. I'm just putting it out there. Actions speak louder than words. What are our actions say? Our actions show that we put missions second. And there's things that we put in front of it other than reaching the world with the gospel. If the world evangelism comes first, then we should make every effort to give missions a priority. As a church, we should make every effort to give missions a priority. That means before the building fund. Hello? And you know how I push that. Because we do. I'm looking forward to Family Life Center. I'm looking forward to the Activity Center being built and getting that going. By the way, we had our final plans given on Thursday to us. Woohoo! Full set of plans are done. We're getting real close. But before you ever give a dime to the building fund, you ought to give a dime to the missions. Amen. I'm telling you, say, well, preacher, we need a Family Life Center. Yes, I think we need it, yes. But we need to spread the gospel around the world. That's a priority. Amen? Oh, hang on, it'll get personal. Before you ever give to the youth department. Before you ever give a dime to the youth department. Oh, you say, well, my kid's in there. I have two of them in there. What are you doing for missions? Amen. What are you doing for missions? You see, if we'll take care of the main thing, God will take care of the buildings. If we'll take care of the main thing, there'll be money for the youth program. If we'll take care of the main thing, there'll be money for the Sunday school and for Vacation Bible School and for the Fall Festival and for every other Master's Club, for every other program and ministry we have. If we'll take care of the main thing, God will take care of the rest. Amen. Actions speak louder than words. The supreme task, first, of Heritage Baptist Church is to spread the gospel around the world. And let us keep the main thing the main thing. Every year we give a budget in January and we pass a budget. And in that budget, we usually talk about missions and we emphasize missions. And missions is not necessarily a part of the budget because it's dependent upon your giving faith promise. In other words, you promise to give such and such individually and whatever comes in, we disperse it. And usually of the whole budget, missions is about 14 to 16% every year. And as the church has grown, it's grown with it, but it's always stayed around, and that's not true, because back in the beginning it was a lot less than that, around 8 or 9%. But in the last 5 or 6 years, it's been between 14 and 16%. That's pretty good when you have over $1 million budget and whatever else comes in. But we can do better. So, preacher, we can do better. If everyone got involved... I don't remember how many active families. We're up around 175 active families, somewhere around 180 active families. If everyone got involved, if everyone gave, if everyone, even down to the teenager and gave a dollar or $2 or whatever it may be, just everyone involved, we could do better. Actions speak louder than words. Most of the time, our hip pocket tells a lot about what comes first in our life. Let's be very careful to keep missions in the forefront. If we put missions in front, again, God will take care of the rest. God will provide according to Philippians. And then, the most important task, supreme task of the church is to evangelize the world. And by the way, it's the church's responsibility. The church is the tool in which God placed here on earth to reach the world with the gospel. Not associations, not some secondary interdependent, non-denominational, third party. The church has been tasked with it. Amen. We are to evangelize the world. We are given that responsibility to reach the world. By the way, the whole church has been given that responsibility. Not just the ambassadors class. Not just the victory class. Not just the faith class. Not just the college career class. Not just the True North class. Not the youth department. Not the sixth grade class. It's not just the Scruggs' responsibility in their class to reach the gospel. That'd be kind of something, wouldn't it? All the fifth and sixth graders reaching the gospel. Yeah. Mommy, can I have a dollar? We're all responsible. Every man, woman, and child in Heritage Baptist Church is responsible to reach the world with the gospel. The choir is responsible for reaching the world with the gospel. The ushers are responsible for reaching the world with the gospel. The deacons are responsible for reaching the world with the gospel. Every man, woman, and child at Heritage Baptist Church is responsible, tasked with reaching the world with the gospel. Oswald Smith said it this way. He said, every Christian should be a missionary. Every Christian is to be a missionary. At home, at work, in our community, and then by giving so that a substitute can go for you. You see, again, in Acts 1:8, I know it's a broken record, but Acts 1:8 says that we are to go into all the world, into Judea, into Samaria, and to the uttermost. At the same time, it uses the word and. It means in at the same time, conjunction and. I can't preach here and reach Haslett and reach South America at the same time. I got to send somebody in my place. And that's why we give. We give so that others can go. We give so that others can go in our place and they can reach the South Americans for the Lord Jesus Christ, so they can reach the Africans for the Lord Jesus Christ, they can reach the Chinese, the Indians, so they can reach them in our place as we hold the ropes. Every Christian, love serves. And the greatest love we can show others is to give them the gospel. We had a theme a few years ago called Do Good. And I mentioned that that we ought to serve others around us, and I think we should look out for our neighbors, that every man should not look on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, Philippians chapter 2, that we should be caretakers of those around us and watch for them and care for them and be concerned about them. I'm talking about physically, making sure our neighbor has food and so forth. But the most important thing, the greatest good you can do for someone is to give them the gospel. And the greatest way you can show your love towards someone else is to give them the gospel. A coworker at work is going through a hard time. What should you do? When they come to you and ask, hey, how do you make it through this? You should give them the gospel. Family members at Christmas, you should give them the gospel. Tuesday night and Saturday morning, we give them the gospel. We're tasked with giving the gospel to those around us. By the way, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isaiah, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, I hope this morning you know you're saved, and I would neglect to do my duty if I did not tell you that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a penalty for sin. What is sin? Well, 1 John 3:4 tells us that sin is a transgression of the law. And the law is simple. The law is simply, Jesus summarized it and said that the law is doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Matthew 7:12, Jesus' own words, he said, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets. We sin when we do not love others as we love ourselves. Can you love everyone in the world as you love yourself all the time? The answer is no. We cannot. And therefore, we are sinners. The Bible says the wages, the penalty of sin is death. Revelation, as I quoted a moment ago, Revelation tells us that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. I want to remind you this morning, the penalty for sin is hell. That's pretty cut and dry. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ came, God in the flesh came, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. Never one time did he have a sinful thought. Never one time did he perform a sinful deed. He was perfect man because he was holy God. And there the God of the universe laid down his life for me. I've been reading the book, and I don't recommend it. O'Reilly's book on Jesus Christ. Called Killing Jesus. I don't recommend it. It's very, very... He can call himself fair and balanced, but his book isn't. I want to remind you, the Roman soldiers, in his book, he blames the Roman government, basically. The Roman soldiers did not crucify Jesus Christ. I mean, we know that they were the ones that... But Jesus said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. Understand this morning. They did not... Jesus Christ did not struggle to get away when they were trying to nail him on that cross. He laid down his life willingly for you and for me. He loved us so much. The Bible says in Isaiah that he looked down through time and he saw you and he saw me and he went to that cross and there he died for me. He shed his blood for me, gave his life for me that my sins might be forgiven. The Bible says in Isaiah that he took upon the sins of the world, for God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And there he gave his life for me. There he died. They came and took him off the cross and put him in a tomb. And there he laid for 3 days. And when those ladies came to check on him, to put some spices on him, he was not there. And the angels said, he is not here. For he is risen, just as he said he would. And now Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and there He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's there on our behalf. Listen, there is a man sitting on the right hand of the throne of God this morning, representing you and I. Amen. Representing us there in heaven, making intercession for us on our behalf. What a mighty God we serve. What a loving Father we have in heaven who would give His only Son that our sins might be forgiven in order that we might escape hell and have a home in heaven. I hope today there's been a day in your life when you have accepted Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that'll call upon His name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let me ask it in this way. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure, 100% for sure, that heaven would be your home? If you don't, you can. Amen. John said in 1 John, these things have I written unto you, that you might know that you have eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, and the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen, you can know today. And there'll be someone here in just a moment when we begin the invitation, when we begin to sing here in a little bit, there'll be some adults up here to show you from the Scriptures how you can have eternal life. That's the gospel that our missionaries are taking around the world. Amen. That's the gospel that we are supporting through our finances and prayers and spreading the gospel around the world. That's what the world... The cure for America is not politics. Amen. Amen. The cure for America is God. Amen. It's the gospel. The cure for the world is not politics and the UN. Good night. The cure for the world... The hope for the world, is a better way to put it, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, we're not stuffing it down anybody's throat. We're not coming in with guns trying to get somebody to convert to Christianity. No, we're lovingly serving them and giving them the gospel. And they have the right to accept or reject. Right? Amen. Every Christian to be a missionary. The world is to be reached. It's the supreme task of our church to reach the world. The church is the vehicle. How are we going to do that? By going. There's some in here that should go. There are some in here who have felt the tug of the Holy Spirit from time to time, maybe at a missions conference or something when you're reading your Bible or something's been said, and there's been a time in your life when you said, you know what, I think God has called me to go to the mission field. And maybe you just haven't yielded to that call. Won't you yield today? Your life will be so much better. It really will. How are we to fulfill the supreme task? Where to go? Or where to give? Maybe you're here this morning, you're new to Heritage Baptist Church, or maybe you've been here a long time and you've never given to missions. There's a little slot on your offering envelope that says missions on it. Just begin to systematically give. If you start out with a dollar, fantastic. That's $52 a year. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here and you have the resources to give a lot more. We have people in our church who give, you know, $100 a week. Sometimes more. It's not about how much you give, but it's how much you give according to what you have. Amen. God is not no respecter of persons. We should go. We should give. And if you can't give, and maybe there's some in here who can't. Need to show up on Wednesday night to the Financial Peace University. Amen. But maybe there's some here who can't. Pray. Everybody can pray. Amen. Amen. Pray for the Nelsons in Canada. Nelsons in Canada. Pray for the Newtons in Spain. Just pray for them. Everyone can go. Ezekiel was charged with the task of warning the nation of Israel. Israel was backslidden, and Ezekiel's job was to warn them that judgment was coming. Let us be reminded that one day judgment is coming. One day there will be a great white throne judgment in which everyone will stand before God, and there will be judged. Philippians tells us that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, whether in heaven, whether up above, whether in the earth or under the earth, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Everyone will stand before God. The Bible speaks of those stepping before the throne of God, and they open the book of Lamb's Book of Life, and their name isn't there. And when their name isn't there, they're cast into the lake of fire. But the description for us is that there'll be some saying, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say something to me?" That coworker at your work one day will pass before the throne of God, and if he's not saved or she's not saved, they may point at you and say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say something?" That cousin or that aunt or that person, that we're tasked with giving the gospel out, and one day we will give an account for it. Understand that when we get to heaven, tears will not be wiped away until after the great white throne judgment. I believe we'll stand there and weep in sorrow of heart. And if we did not tell them, the blood is on our hands. But there's hope. You see, we should tell them. And the Bible says, Ezekiel says, if we tell them, if we warn them, then the blood will not be required at our hands. Whether they're here in Haslett or our next door neighbor or a friend. And you say, "Well, preacher, how do I know who to witness to and so forth?" Well, witness to everybody, but I know this. Whenever the Lord tugs on my heartstrings, I witness to somebody. I try every time. There's been times I haven't, and I'll one day give an account for that. But if the Lord tugs, you never had that happen to you? I have. I got to where, too, with cell phones, it's awesome. If somebody's on my heart, I just call them. I say, "Hey, I was just," or I text them. It's amazing. "Hey, you're in my heart today, just praying for you." More touches your heart. We're watchmen. Countless humanity will watch. Many will be pointing at us. Let us be faithful to tell the gospel. Let us be faithful to go. Let us be faithful to give. Let us be faithful to pray. And we must go or send someone in our place. Blow the trumpet. There's an old song, and I'm not going to sing it, called "Sound the Horn." Sound the horn. Lift up your voice. Let somebody know about Jesus. He said, "Preacher, I don't know how to give somebody the gospel." Give them your testimony of how you got saved. That's what Paul did many, many times. Just give them your testimony. Let them know how you accepted Christ as your Savior. It's so, so important. Preacher closes the Bible. That means we're getting to the end. I used this illustration a few months ago, too, and I read it somewhere. I think sometimes we don't view ourselves as that important when we give to missions. We just make the check out and it goes in the offering plate and bye-bye and there it went. But let's say Micah, my youngest boy, by the way, I just want to mention Josh since I mentioned Micah, but I'm going to use Micah as the illustration. Let's say Micah, we were out hiking and he fell into a big hole. Let's say the hole is 30 feet deep. 30 feet deep. It's a big hole, deep hole. I can't get him out. He can't get out himself. And so I go and I get his big brother, Joshua. See, I got him in here. I get Joshua. We take a rope. We go over to this hole. We drop down the rope. Even better than that, let's say Micah got hurt in it. And I had to send Joshua down to get Micah. I'm messing the illustration up. It's still going to work. And I send him down there, and he wraps the rope around Micah and himself, and I pull them out. Who's the most important part of the story? Well, Micah is, because we like to get him out of the hole. And Joshua's a middle child, so he's not all that important. What the point is this. The missionary going to the field is important. But you here in the States holding the ropes are just as important. He can't get to South America if you're not giving the money to do it. He can't save that person in the well. He can't save that person in the hole if we're not holding the ropes, if we're not helping on this end. It's kind of like, remember the old fire brigades when they used to not have the, you know, the big fire trucks, but they had a little, they used to use pails of water. You've seen the old Westerns, you know, and anyway, they're out there and they're passing the buckets along in the chain, right? One bucket to another man, to another man, to another man, and then one man's throwing the water on the fire, right? Well, who's the most important part of that chain? The man throwing the water on the fire itself, or the people in line getting the water to him? They're all just as important. And listen to this. When you give to missions and when you pray for your missionary, the fruit, the reward for the person passing the bucket will be just as much as the person who's throwing the bucket on the fire. Amen. So don't think too little of what you do. Give. Give. Pray. And go. The supreme task of the church is to evangelize the world. We need to have a worldwide vision, because that's what God sees. He's no respecter of persons. We need to be reminded from time to time that our task as a church is to reach the world with the gospel. First task, number one, not second. Our actions sometimes speak louder than our words. Too many times, missions is put on the secondary instead of first. And lastly, it's the church's responsibility to reach the gospel, to reach the world with the gospel. The church. Heritage Baptist Church. Let's do our task. Let's fulfill the Great Commission. Let's do it in a greater way than ever before. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing and what you've done with our church, and what a great church we have, a giving church, Lord, who's given so much. But I pray, Lord, we would do even a better job, that each member, each person, each family would be involved in going, giving, and praying. Help us, Lord, to fulfill your Great Commission. I pray this morning for someone here who does not know you as their personal Savior. Maybe there's someone here who's never accepted you, never accepted the gospel. I pray today they might accept you today. Lord, touch their hearts. Give them courage to step out of their chair and come forward to an altar and to see from the Bible how they can know that they're saved. Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name.